Wishing you a very pleasant good afternoon, wherever you may be.
Omaha! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello?
Cincinnati.
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes! Unbelievable.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport.
Good afternoon. It is Monday, which means we have a whole new week of sports talk. This is the Sports Access. I'm your host, Peter DeFee. A lot of sports to talk about. A lot of baseball news to talk about. A lot of baseball free agency news to talk about today. But we're going to start with a little bit of some NFL news. Le'Veon Bell to the Jets is seeming to a lot of people like the favorite. A lot of people think that Le'Veon Bell will sign with the Jets come March 15th or beyond, whenever he's able to sign free agent contracts, which I believe starts March 15th. I believe you can officially sign as free agents. So a lot of people are thinking that Le'Veon Bell to the Jets seems like the favorite or seems like the smart move, the smartest move. I think that's pretty smart because the Jets have Sam Darnold as their quarterback. They really seem to like him. They're just missing a running back. That offensive line needs to get a little better, but Le'Veon Bell is a good pass catcher out of the backfield as well as a running back. So that would be a good pickup for him. Also, that defense is starting to get a little better. Jamal Adams had a good rookie season last year, made the Pro Bowl. So that secondary getting a little better, that defensive line getting a little better. So the Jets in the next couple of years or so could be trying to fight for that AFC East division crown once again, like they did in the late 2000s, in the 2007 to 2009, 10 era, or years. So Le'Veon Bell to the Jets seems like that's going to be the favorite choice for a lot of people to pick. Also, it seems like the Jacksonville Jaguars will sign Nick Foles, the free agent from Philadelphia. A lot of people have penned the Jaguars to make that move, getting off of Blake Bortles and that whole situation over there in Jacksonville, which was good for, you know, about, you know, 2 seconds when they made the playoffs and beat the Steelers. And then apparently last year they started 3-0 and then just could never get anything done. So Nick Foles to the Jacksonville Jaguars, which a lot of people were also saying that, you know, since the Eagles helped him out and gave him the chance to be a free agent, you know, Nick Foles helped them win a Super Bowl. The Eagles are going to help Nick Foles become a free agent. So it was kind of known that Nick Foles wasn't going to sign within the division with the Giants, with the Redskins, so on and so forth. So that's the NFL news for today. Obviously, had no show on Friday, so I couldn't really talk about this. But Bryce Harper is a Philadelphia Philly. This happened on Thursday. Happened while I was at practice, and I was kind of surprised but not surprised at the same time. I was surprised about the money he got. He got 3 years, $330 million. Excuse me, I'm sorry, 13 years, $330 million. So about $25 million a year, which it doesn't break the annual or the average annual value of a salary per season, but it does break the largest free agent contract and the largest contract period in sports at $330 million. It beat out Giancarlo Stanton's contract of $325 million, but it did not break the average annual value of the contract per year. But it happened overnight, too, with this. He was the number one selling jersey of all time in any sports player during the first 24 hours. So he broke a record overnight, becoming the all-time leading jersey sale with 24 during the last 24 hours, selling, I think it was upwards of a couple of million, I know that. After he announced on Friday that he'd be wearing number 3, all the number 3 jerseys were made and sold basically, you know, like their life depended on it. But I thought it was a pretty classy move by Bryce Harper. I'll get into all the details of how I think he's going to fit with the team, but in a little bit. But real quick, I think it was just classy how he said that Roy Halladay was or should have been the last person or should be the last person to wear number 34 with the Phillies. I thought that was really classy of Bryce Harper picking number 3. And then also, he couldn't pick 7 because, you know, 3 plus 4 equals 7. But he didn't want to pick 7 because Michael Franco was number 7 and he didn't feel right that he would take that away, or he didn't feel right asking for him to give up his number because he doesn't know what value that has to Franco. And also, you know, his father wore number 3 in high school. His mother wore number 3 in high school. You know, I think he said his brother also wore number 3 in high school. So number 3, you know, is a very significant number in that family. So I thought that was just really classy as to why he chose to pick number 3 and not pick number 34, because he could have very well just said, yeah, I'm going to be number 34 because, you know, I just signed a $330 million contract and, you know, I'm going to do what I want. But he didn't, which I thought was really classy of him to do so. Now, on to the actual team side of it and what I think the production is going to be and how I think the team's going to be. I think they got significantly better. And I think this offense is going to be really, really potent and is going to help this pitching staff a lot. It's going to be able to carry the pitching staff through a majority of the games in the regular season. You got Nick Pivetta, who's coming off of a down year. You got Vince Velasquez coming down off of a down year. Jake Arrieta coming down off of a down year. You know, Aaron Nola, really the only person in that Phillies rotation that really did a whole lot as far as day in and day out every fifth game, giving the team the best chances to win. So now this offense is going to be able to pick up a little bit of the slack of the pitching staff, especially late in games when they're playing other really good offensive teams like the Braves. The Nationals still have a pretty good offensive team. The Mets got better offensively this year. You know, the Rockies, Dodgers, Cardinals, Cubs, guys, teams like that, that they're going to be playing throughout the whole season. That offense is going to be able to pick up the slack for the pitching staff. Say if the pitching staff gives up 5 runs, this offense is going to be able to score 7 or 8. So he'll be able to fit nicely between Rhys Hoskins, Michael Franco, JT Realmuto, guys like that. So it's going to give Hoskins a little bit more protection because you can either not pitch to Hoskins and then pitch to Harper, and good luck with that, or you can try to get through Hoskins and try to get through Harper. Well, good luck with that, because Hoskins can send you 500 feet over the fence as well, just like Harper can. And then Realmuto is going to come behind you and just double off the wall every time. So this is a really good hitting lineup, especially with Gene Segura up at the top. Scott Kingery had a very productive rookie season, especially towards the end of the season last year. Michael Franco looks to bounce back from his season last year. And then you got guys like Odubel Herrera who can help you out. I don't think they said who their left fielder was going to be, because I know they brought Hoskins from left field to first base now, because they had Carlos Santana over there at first. They put Rhys Hoskins over in left field. So now they put Rhys Hoskins back to first base. I don't know really who's going to be manning that left field position, but the middle of the lineup got a whole lot better for the Phillies. The middle of that defense also got a whole lot better, adding Gene Segura in the offseason. J.P. Crawford, a little shaky over there at shortstop. The defense in the outfield got a whole lot better as well, as Hoskins was a liability over there in left field. Now you got Odubo Herrera and Bryce Harper over in center field and right field, which is going to be really good defensive side of the field, because Hoskins can also pick it over there at first base, as well as Kingery's really good second baseman. He grew up or came up as a shortstop and had to play second base because of Brandon Crawford. Realmuto, one of the better catchers in all of baseball right now. So offensively and defensively, this is a really good, solid team. I expect them to win. If I had to make predictions right now, I expect them to win at least 90 games. I think that's a little bit of a hefty prediction, but I'm going to say it. I think they win at least 90 games. They go at least 90 and 72. I had them fighting for that AL East crown, that whole AL East between the Nationals, Braves, Phillies, and now the Mets, who, when they made all those off-season acquisitions. I expect them to be a whole lot better. So that whole top four, I know I'm excluding the Marlins, but the Marlins for the next couple of years are not going to be that good. They just need to rebuild. But the top of that division is going to be a dogfight. So I would not be surprised if 92, 93 wins win you the division. I wouldn't even be surprised if somebody with less than 90 wins the division. You know, you get like a 87, 88 just because everybody's going to be beating up on each other. But I expect them to at least be better than they were last year, win more games than they did last year. Expect them to win about 90 games, fight for that NL East division crown. If not, fight for at least a wild card spot. And make it to the playoffs. But I think that offense got a whole lot better. That defense got a whole lot better with some of the acquisitions they made, especially behind the plate, especially at shortstop, especially over there at first base now, because I think Hoskins is a better defender than Carlos Santana. And who knows, maybe in 2 years, when a certain somebody comes off the books from Anaheim, who I'll talk about a little later, what the Angels are going to consider offering him. But maybe he comes to Philadelphia, plays center field. Now you got Odubo Herrera, a certain somebody in center field, and Bryce Harper. And that certain somebody, if everybody doesn't know, is Mike Trout. So you'd have Odubo Herrera, Mike Trout, Bryce Harper in the outfield. That would be a really good outfield. That would also be probably the best offensive team that we would be able to see. Rhys Hoskins can hit you 30 home runs. Bryce Harper can hit you 30 home runs. Mike Trout can hit you 30 home runs. Mikel Franco, when he's going right, can hit you 30 home runs. So that would just be a really good offensive team, as well as a good defensive team. Mike Trout can play all three positions in the outfield. I'm sure he could play an infield position if he wanted to. But it was just, I think that's a good pickup for the Phillies. As far as the money goes, he wanted to spend the rest of his career with somebody. So that's where the length came from and the money came from. I think just him wanting to make the most money he could through all 13 years while also saving some for other free agents to come. That's why I think he's not making over 30 million. He's only making 25. I think it was like 25.6. 25.5. Anyways, it's a lot of money. But I think that was a good pickup for them as well as a good signing for Bryce Harper, because I think he'll be good in that stadium. I think he's going to hit 30 plus home runs in that stadium, even though a lot of articles that I've read said that, you know, Philadelphia is not really a hitter's ballpark for lefties, but I would beg to differ because he's already hit 16 home runs in, I think it was 30 games there in his career. He's hit 16 home runs, so I think he'll be able to hit a lot of home runs. But when we come back, I'll talk about Craig Kimbrel and how his market is heating up. And what team is coming after him ferociously. And we'll talk about that after the break. Sports Access Live. So the market for Craig Kimbrel, is growing fiercely right now. Is really in high demand as Harper and Machado have finally signed. So now some of the lesser, quote unquote lesser known free agents are going to possibly get signed here in the next couple of months. Dallas Keuchel, I still haven't heard anything really on him. They were saying maybe the Phillies would sign him, but I don't think anything is really going to be there financially and whatnot. But, you know, one team that is looking into Craig Kimbrel is one Washington Nationals. The team that just lost out on Bryce Harper, their franchise player for the last 7 years, is in contract talks with Craig Kimbrel, the closer, the all-star closer. He's only 31, I believe, if I can remember that correctly. But the only thing that is an issue is that the Nationals, if they do sign Kimbrel, would be over the luxury tax. This would be the third straight season they would be over the luxury tax if they signed him, and they would have to pay back the 50% tax for every dollar that they're over. And right now, Kimbrel is looking for anywhere between $80 to $100 million right now for a long-term deal. And if they did that, you know, right now, the Nationals, I don't think it would really be smart for them to do that because they'd be over the luxury tax. They still need to address, you know, maybe a little bit of outfield play. Maybe if Victor Robles can come up and Juan Soto can be the same person he was last year, which I think he can. I think he'll continue to improve on that. But Adam Eaton right now, don't know what we're going to get. Is he going to stay healthy? Victor Robles, we don't know what's really going on there. So I think they need to address a little bit of outfield play. I think, you know, their first base position can get filled. I know they have Ryan Zimmerman over at first base because of, Rendon. Forgot his first name, but Rendon is his last name. I know Rendon's over at third base. So maybe address that first base position because Zimmerman is getting a little bit older. Catching, they still need to address a little bit. And so also that bullpen. That bullpen wasn't really the best last year. But getting Craig Kimbrel would secure that bullpen, I know. But going over the luxury tax is a little bit tricky because you can't really do a whole lot when it comes to trades. You really, if you're going to do some trades, it's going to be a salary dump. And a lot of teams don't want to take on that salary. So it would really put them in a bind to sign Craig Kimbrel. But from a team perspective, I think this would be a really good pickup for the Nationals. You take the luxury tax aside, if they didn't have to worry about the luxury tax, I think this would be a tremendously good deal for the Nationals. It would secure that back end of the bullpen. It would give them another guy that they can come into the ninth that they've had before, Ryan Madsen in years past, Drew Storen when he was, you know, when he was good back in the past, Jonathan Papelbon for that year that he was with them. So it would give them that good closer that they need at the back end of the bullpen. But they would also need to address a little bit of that starting rotation. I know they got Patrick Corbin. They still have Scherzer, and they still have Strasburg. But now they don't have Gio Gonzalez. They traded him away. Tanner Roark, Joe Ross. Don't really know what they're going to be. I know Roark's pretty consistent, but he has a really high ERA, allows a lot of hits, doesn't really strike out a whole lot of guys. Sometimes get you deep into ball games. So there is a lot of things that they need to address within this team before they can just spend $80 to $100 million and go over the luxury tax for Craig Kimbrel. But I do think that this would be a good pickup if they didn't have to worry about the luxury tax. They didn't have to worry about it. Go sign him right now. Lock up the back end of your bullpen. But can't really do that. So... But his talks are also heating up with other teams. I know the Phillies were kind of thinking about him, but now that they signed Harper and Trout's going to be off the books in a couple of years. They might want to hold back on that money now and just rock with the bullpen they have for this year. Maybe see if it just gets better this year. Pat Neshek coming back. They picked up David Robertson, the reliever. And I know they picked up one other guy, but I don't remember who it was off the top of my head. I know they picked up a couple of relievers this offseason. Oh, and I take that back on who's going to be playing left field for the Phillies. I just now thought of it. Andrew McCutchen. They signed Andrew McCutchen this year. He'll be the left fielder. He was a Gold Glover a couple of years ago. So that defense is going to be looking a little more rock solid than it was last year. But sorry about that. I just remembered that. But the Phillies, bullpen-wise, I know they were going to try to go after Kimbrel. I think the Padres were going to try to make a play for Kimbrel as well. They have Machado now. That wouldn't hurt. They traded away Brad Hand, who was their closer last year, who was their all-star closer last year, for Francisco Mejia to the Indians. Or they traded Brad Hand to the Indians for Francisco Mejia, who is going to be a really good catcher, I think, in the next couple of years. So the Padres are looking at Kimbrel. I know the Red Sox were going to look at Kimbrel, but they're $17 million over the luxury tax, I believe. If I remember that correctly, if I read that correctly, they're $17 million away from the luxury tax or $17 million over the luxury tax. And that wouldn't be affordable for them, too, because they have a lot of guys that are going to need contracts coming up pretty soon. You got Xander Bogaerts, Jackie Bradley Jr., Mookie Betts, you know, guys like that. You know, Chris Sale, I believe, is coming up on free agency soon. They haven't extended him. I know they have Price on the books still for a couple of years. Nathan Eovaldi, they just signed back for 4 years. But JBJ, Andrew Benintendi is going to be wanting money, a lot more money pretty soon. Chris Sale coming into free agency in the next couple of years. One other pitch. Oh, Rick Porcello, I believe, is coming up on free agency in the next couple of years. So there's going to be guys that they need to sign back that Craig Kimbrel right now is just not who they want to sign back right now. And it's not who they really need to sign back right now. So just not really making sense. And the Kimbrel talks are heating up with certain teams, but there's a lot of other teams that I think could really use him that just aren't going after him because he wants $80 to $100 million. And this is the other, you know, this is the other thing that I talked about in a previous show. You want 80 to 100, but if somebody offers you 5 for 60 or 70, is that really going to deter you from signing with that team? It's like, oh no, I wanted 80 million, but they're only offering me 70 million. Is that, in my mind, I think that's deterring a lot of people from signing with teams. And I just don't think that's right. I don't think that's, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm flat out wrong and that's not what's happening. And just, you know, teams are saying, we're only going to give you $40 million and you want $80 million. Well, I understand that, you know, $40 million is a long number or a long ways away from the number that you want. And, you know, when you get into the lower numbers like 30, 40 million and you want $100 million, that can really just, you know, turn you off from that team. And I understand that, but again, I wish we can see what some of these contracts are getting offered to some of these players, because if Kimbrel wants 80 to 100 million and he's turning down 65, 70, 75 million from a team and he wants 6 years and they're only offering him 5, I would really like to see if there's actually players that are turning down those type of deals, because in my mind, that's the interesting and weird part of baseball, is that a lot of guys are turning down contract offers that could make the most sense, or could make sense for them to sign, but they're not wanting to sign it because they want 5, 10, 15 million more. Now I understand that's their money and that's their future that they want to endure, but I don't know if 5 to 10 million really makes a difference as far as where you want to sign. But again, to each its own. But I talked about Mike Trout a little bit earlier in the show, earlier before we took the break. and said how he could possibly end up in Philadelphia. That would be if he doesn't sign this contract extension that the Angels are reportedly considering offering him. They could offer him a record extension, and it would be somewhere between 10 years, $350 million. And that's what, according to some MLB sources, they're considering offering him to, offering Mike Trout. Because a lot of MLB executives, for sure, but a lot of Angels executives have said, you know, it would be stupid if the Angels didn't at least offer him an extension. He has 2 years left on his, it was 5 year, $144 million extension that is going to take him through to 2021. He signed that back in 2000. Oh, now I got to remember. I believe he signed that back in 2016. He signed that extension. Am I right? That'd be six. That'd be four or five. Yeah, that'd be 5 years, $144 million if he signed that back in 2016. So he'll be coming off the books 2021. A lot of people, myself included, think that he's going to take about $400 million from a team. He will wager, you know, $400 million. His agent will wager about $400 million to him. And he's worth that much. The way he's played for the last 7 years with the Angels, especially them not making the playoffs. Trout's done everything for that Angels team other than pitch. That rotation has not looked good. The only time they really looked good was 2014, and they got swept by the Royals, whose rotation wasn't that good, but it was just their bullpen and, you know, scrappiness that put them to the World Series that year. Their rotation's not that good. Their bullpen hasn't really been that good. Their offense has been shaky. I know they tried to put Ian Kinsler and Jared Cozart, Andrelton Simmons, Albert Pujols hasn't really done a whole lot. Martin Maldonado, I know, is with them as a catcher. I know he's with the Astros now. But the catching play, they haven't got a whole lot of great stuff out of. Justin Upton has been one of the lone bright spots too. Cole Calhoun, you don't know if he's going to be consistent or not day to day. They're trying to bring in Matt Harvey now because he kind of resurrected his career a little bit in Cincinnati, which he did. I was excited to see him pitch well in Cincinnati and was really happy that he kind of turned his season around. But if we're being honest and you know, Mike Trout has to decide today whether he wants to sign that contract or not, you know, I'm telling my agent, you know, thanks, but no thanks. I'll go on the open market and see if there's a team that we can win with or that I can win with consistently year to year and make it to the playoffs. You know, I'll see if there's a team out there that wants to sign me to $350 to $400 million, which the Phillies had money to spend on either Harper, Machado, or both. It would have been interesting to see what contracts they would have signed for had they signed both players, Machado and Harper. But the Phillies could look to, for the next couple of years, next 2 years, not really spend a whole lot in the offseason and just go all in on Mike Trout and just try to bring him back to Philadelphia, because he was born in New Jersey, went to high school in New Jersey, a big Philadelphia Eagles fan, goes to all their games during the offseason, all their home games at least. So could be a match made in heaven for Trout and for the Philadelphia Phillies. On the other hand, if I'm the Angels and we get to year 2020, and he hasn't signed a contract extension and he says, you know, he's not really going to sign one and he's going to test the free agent market, you have to think about trading him. He's only going to be 29 years old. He's still going to be the same Mike Trout that he's been for the last 7 years. So you have to possibly think about trading him and getting this ball rolling towards making a playoff contender year after year. Now, I know last year they won 88 games, 89 games, and it's just because the Astros won 100-plus and the Athletics came out of nowhere for 97 wins. But the Astros are going to be there. The Athletics are only going to get better, in my opinion. I think they'll be up there within, you know, second, third place of the division. The Mariners, I think, got a little better this offseason. Even though they're rebuilding, I think they still have enough key players. I think D. Gordon's still going to help lead that offense. Edwin Encarnacion's going to help with that offense. I know they got rid of Edwin Diaz and Robinson Cano. Excuse me, I almost forgot his name. But D. Gordon can play second base. Actually played a little bit of a better second base than Robinson Cano. You know, you still got Kyle Seager, over at third base. They added the pitcher from Japan. I'm not even going to try to pronounce his name, because I can't. But I think this team has enough young pieces to compete year after year. The Angels, I don't really know. They're getting old. You're getting older year after year. It's kind of like the Spurs. I know the Spurs are winning, and I know it's a terrible analogy, but the Spurs were just old, it seemed like, for forever. It seemed like the Spurs had nobody under the age of 30 on their team, and that's what it seems like with the Angels, even though the Spurs made the playoffs every year, basically, and that was bad. You know, just take that analogy away. I know that was a terrible analogy. But the Angels, to me, are just getting older and older. That rotation's not that good at all. Garrett Richards, nothing like he was in 2014 and 2013. Matt Harvey, yeah, he got better, but he's not the Matt Harvey of 2015. When they went to the World Series. I mean, just this. You know, Albert Pujols is getting older. He's not the same Albert Pujols he was. Zach Cozart. Yeah, it's Zach Cozart. You know, playing third base is not the same Zach Cozart he was with the Cincinnati Reds earlier in his career. Ian Kinsler didn't really work out for them, so they had to move off. Andrelton Simmons is a great defensive shortstop, but he doesn't have anything to do with batting or anything really to give batting-wise. Cole Calhoun can't stay consistent. Plays a good defense out there in right field, but can't really stay consistent. Justin Upton and Mike Trout really are the only guys that are worth their contracts right now with the Angels. And the only guys that are really producing offensively for them night in and night out. And like I said, if I'm Mike Trout and I have to decide whether I want to stay with Los Angeles, the team that drafted me in 2009 and gave me this opportunity, or do I want to try to go to a team that I can win with and be in the postseason and showcase my skills in October instead of, you know, having to stop after in September. And, you know, watching the playoffs from my couch in October instead of playing in them. So it's really going to have to come down to those two things. Do I want to stay with Los Angeles and make this money and just finish out my career with one team, which I wouldn't blame them. I would take the $350 million and stay with the team. Or do I want to go to a contender? And it doesn't have to be Philadelphia. I'm just saying that because I think that fits best for him. I even thought that was a best fit or better fit for him before Harper signed there. But no, it doesn't have to be Philadelphia. It could be, you know, it could be whoever. You know, I know the Yankees are going to try to sign him. I know Boston's going to probably try to sign him, especially if JBJ is not with them anymore. They need a defensive center fielder. They're going to try to sign him. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, a National League team like the Padres, if they come off the books a couple of years from now, sign him. The Cubs, if they want to trade Jason Hayward and that contract, if they try to sign him. So it doesn't matter what the team is, but do you want to go to a contender or do you want to stay with the Angels? Because the contender, insert whatever team he wants to play for that's going to make it to the playoffs every year, they're going to give him the money. They're not just going to be like, oh, no, we're only going to give you $145 million for 6 years. No, somebody's going to give him 8, 9, 10-year deal because he's only going to be 29 when he comes out of the contract. So he's going to get 7 to 10 years, and somebody's going to give him $300 to $400 million to play for their team for the next 10 years. And he's going to produce like he always does, or always has. And, you know, he's going to make it to the playoffs every year. But it's just one of those decisions that is going to have to be made soon, because I know the Angels on their side, if Mike Trout tells you he has no intentions of signing the extension, you have to trade him. A lot of people think they need to trade him now, but you can wait a couple of years, see if you get better offensively and with the pitching staff. But you need to find some way, if he doesn't want to sign the extension, to trade him and get the ball rolling where you get not only MLB-ready guys, for instance, you know, a couple examples, Francisco Mejia, you know, Fernando Tatis Jr. I know they're not going to, I know the Padres wouldn't trade him, but if the Angels for some reason wanted to trade Trout, they need to get MLB-ready guys like, you know, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., guys that aren't going to take 3-4 years to develop. They need guys that could play now, plus the guys that they can develop. You know, and some player comps would be Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Fernando Tatis, Francisco Mejia, or Willy Adames, if for the Rays. You know, I know the Rays aren't going to trade for him, but guys like that, Clint Frazier for the Yankees, MLB-ready guys that, for one reason or another, are not up with the big club, whether Clint Frazier's just, there's no place for him to play in New York, you know, right now. So guys that are ready to come up, but they can still develop and get this ball rolling with the rebuild or the retool a lot easier. And they can't just settle for mediocre guys. They need to hit home runs with the guys that they would trade, if they trade them. This is all hypothetical, of course. But if they were to trade Mike Trout, they need to hit home runs, because they can't go through this process, trade Mike Trout, and then have to start over from square one because the guys that they traded for, or the guys that they gave up or got back in return for Mike Trout, didn't do anything. So they need to hit home runs with this. And if, you know, the Angels, if you don't make the playoffs this year and you start declining and you start trading guys away because you're sellers at the deadline, and say, for instance, you trade away Justin Upton, you trade away Cozart, you trade away Simmons, then you just trade Trout away for prospects that you can develop in the next 3 to 4 years, because you're not going to win. But if you're going to keep everybody else around and just trade Trout, you need to get players that can win now, or at least that can be productive now, and not guys that are 18, 19 years old. Even though 19-year-olds are coming up into the big leagues now, my point being that you can't get those guys that are just out of high school that aren't going to be ready till they're 22, 23 years old for another 4 or 5 years. They trade Trout, they need to get guys that can come up to the big leagues now, or at least have some type of production and be in AAA for one more year, because they need to hone their craft and then come up to the big leagues and have some type of production and get the ball rolling for this rebuild. But it's going to be a very interesting conversation between Trout's agent and the Angels organization, because again, that is a team that groomed him and built him and developed him into the player that he was. Even though he was really good in high school, he still needed that development from the big league club. And that's exactly what the Angels did. So does he want to display his loyalty and stay with the Angels, which in my opinion, I don't think would really be that smart, because first of all, that Angels pipeline, meaning the farm system, isn't really that strong right now because of their development. I know they have Joe Adell coming up, a really good top outfield prospect that could possibly replace Cole Calhoun if they decide not to sign him back in the next couple of years, or they just decide just to trade for him or trade him. Then you bring him up, maybe that sparks a little bit of offensiveness into the lineup and you start winning more games. But that Angels farm system isn't really the best right now. Still needs a little bit of work. And this, I just think this team's not really in a position to win right now. And I think the Astros are going to be there. The Athletics are going to be there. The Mariners, I think, are going to just get better. The Rangers, I think, should be better this year. They should get a little better. And that leaves the Angels. And it's going to be a dogfight for that top of the division. But I think, I mean, right now, I think the Astros and the Athletics have a hold on that top of the division. And the Angels are going to be fighting for wild card teams. And there's a lot of really good wild card teams out there. The Athletics are going to, you know, fight for a wild card spot. The Rays are going to fight for a wild card spot. You know, just looking around, the White Sox might start fighting for a wild card spot when their team comes up, or everybody that they have comes up, and they start getting this rebuild into a, okay, let's go make some postseason runs right now. You know, the Blue Jays with all their young guys fighting for a wild card spot. The Yankees or Red Sox are going to be fighting for a wild card spot because only one team's going to be able to win the division. So when you look at that, you got to think of your chances of making one of those two wild card spots. Unless for some reason these next 2 years they just absolutely go off, their pitching staff just does a tremendous job and they win a division one or two times, which I don't see that happening. But in my mind, I think you need to, you know, either move off a Trout and get your bearings going, or you need to find out some way to get players in that can help you win now, so that way when Trout has a decision to make in the next 2 years, he's like, you know what, I really like where this team's going. They're going up. We won the division a couple of times, so let's make the Angels my home. Let's make Anaheim my home. And I want to sign back. And they sign him back, and now they're winning divisions, you know, year after year. So, but that's just my personal opinion on all of that. And it's going to be very interesting to see what happens come 2020 when they have a decision to make. But great show today. I know, like I said, a lot of baseball news was today. We'll talk a little bit more basketball news on Wednesday. I have a weird stat for you. Hopefully, I'll find a really good weird stat, because, you know, last week's weird stat, I think, was more of a not really weird one, but, you know, more of a, like, what are you doing kind of stat, where, you know, the Brooklyn Nets, I said the Brooklyn Nets had zero lottery picks in the last 7 years, and the Suns had nine lottery picks in the last 7 years, and Brooklyn Nets were 30-30 at the time. I know they're 32-33 right now, holding the seventh spot in the East, and the Suns were 17-45 at the time. I know they beat the Lakers, so we can have, well, you know, we'll have to talk about the Lakers' chances of making the playoffs on Wednesday as well. Hopefully I'll have my NBA expert, or at least somebody that can kind of help talk about what's going on with the Lakers. But great show today. As always, Wednesday we'll be back. So have a good rest of your Monday. This has been the Sports Access Live. I am your host, Peter DeFee, wishing you a very great rest of your Monday.